Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn together to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I hope this morning that in your heart you were running to Jesus. You were going to Him this morning. You were pouring out the need of your heart and your life. You know, that's what worship is about. And your ability to receive God's Word and to hear from God is going to be determined largely by how you worship. Not just on Sunday morning, but all through the week. If you're not worshiping through the week, you won't worship like you should on Sunday morning. But if you come in here already charged up, already. Some of us come in here and we're just like an old balloon, and all the air's going out of them. We're just kind of dragging in here, you know. And okay, preacher, pump me up again, you know. And that's not God's intent. That's not His plan. God wants to pump you up every single day. God wants to fill you with His presence, give you what you need, give you strength. And when you come in here, you're fired up. You come in here, somebody might mistake you for a Pentecostal or something, because you're ready. You're ready to worship. Well, but honestly, you're going to receive from God's Word, and in the measure that you worship God, you pour your heart into those moments. And you know, and I know, I mean, I hear it, I've experienced it and heard it, and you have too. And well, that's not my favorite song. To which I would simply say, bless your heart. What if they don't play your favorite song in heaven? What are you going to do then? Find the complaint box and start lobbying the angels you know, Lucifer already tried that. Didn't work out too well. So, you know, part of this is just that it's not about me. It's about Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. All right. Amen. That was free. I just want to throw that in there. So, Romans chapter 8, we're looking at a wonderful thing that God does. When He saves us, He brings peace and He brings life. He brings freedom. He breaks chains. He sets us free. He does amazing things. But here today, what we're going to see is we're going to see the total contrast between a life that is surrendered to Christ, a life that belongs to Jesus, and a life that is not surrendered, a life that is still in rebellion. We're going to contrast the life of a person who is saved with the person the life of a person who is lost. And you know, I hope in this room this morning everybody in here is saved. I really do. I hope you are just saved to the uttermost. I hope that, you know, that's absolute, and you know that without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved, because that's the most important question in life. I don't care. You live to be 150, but you're lost when you get there. What have you got? So I want you to see this. And part of this is just to help us to understand what God has done for us. And if there is someone who's here today who doesn't have a relationship with Christ, well, boy, there's some things that you really need to think about, because this is extremely important. And so Romans chapter 8, and we're going to be thinking about the things we mind today. You'll see that. Let's look together. Verse 5. If you found your place and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word? Romans 8 and chapter 8, verse 5. I'll get it out in a moment. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we gather today and we lift this prayer to You. We pray that You will speak and work in our hearts freely now. Lord, bind the enemy from us. Remove him, his presence. God, put a hedge of protection around this room and around each of us and help us to receive what you have for us today from your holy word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So, you may have heard an exasperated mother dealing with a child who says, that boy just will not mind me. That girl will just not mind me. She will not do what I say. Well, we're thinking about minding some things here. But we're taking this and we're turning it to Scripture. We're turning it to the things of God. And Paul uses this expression. He says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So here's the first thing that we're going to see when we begin to think about what does it mean to be after the flesh, according to the flesh, walking in flesh. And you say, well, what exactly does that mean? What is that talking about? It's talking about a lost person. It's talking about a person who does not have the Spirit of God within them. They have not been saved. They have not been born again. And so the absolute direction of their life, their thoughts, their desires, the things they are working toward, moving toward, it is of the flesh. And he says, those who are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So, you know, number one, we've all been there. If you're here this morning and you're saved, most likely you remember a time in your life when you were not saved. And you know that your life then wasn't pleasing to God because your mind was set on other things. Well, folks, there's an enemy to your soul in this world. The world system itself is corrupted and is turned against God. I mean, when little Zaylee arrived, and she's beautiful and she's precious, but when she arrived in this world, she was conceived in iniquity, the Bible says. She came into this world with a problem. And Casey's not going to have to work to teach her how to be selfish and be unkind or to tell a lie or to you know, all those things. It's there within us. And folks, those who are in the flesh, I mean, there's a lot of people. We met people yesterday. And, you know, some of them were not particularly... You know, our group really, we didn't have anybody who was just really ugly to us. That was nice. But, you know, I heard some stories about some other folks who, you know, people were just kind of a little bit ugly. And, well, we come into this world, into this life, and our bent is away from God, not toward God. You know, if you've ever seen, I saw a thing that, and I don't know if this is true or not. Some of you history buffs could maybe inform me on, but so when you find a tree in the forest that, I mean, an old tree, not just a, you know, but an older tree that has a bend in it that is, you know, significant. And the pictures that I saw, that tree would come up and then all of a sudden it would just go like this. And I said, a lot of times the Native Americans used that for a marker, a trail marker or some kind of a sign, some kind of a thing. They would bend that tree and that would become an indicator for them. And, well, you know, that's the bent of that tree. Well, we each one have a bent in life. And there's certain things that we just pull toward. We just gravitate toward. You know, I could see that in my children. I don't talk a lot about my children when I'm preaching because they're all staring at me right here and saying, "What are you doing?" But each one, I could just see some different bent, you know, some different direction. And you know, and each one is individual and unique, but yet every single one of us has a bent that's natural. And it is not toward God. It is away from God. It is away from the things of God. So that's our starting point. Those who are after the flesh, well, they mind the things of the flesh. That's what they pay attention to. That's what they're watching for. That's what they're drawn to. That's what their desire is. That's what they want. And that's where they're going. And so as you look at your life, that's a good test for you. That's a good indicator. Where am I at? What's happening in my life? Why am I the way I am? You know, and it's possible as a Christian to sin. I think we know that. We saw that in chapter 7. Paul struggled with that. He said, "The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I do." That battle is real. But here we have something different. We have a person who is lost, does not know Jesus. And guess what they act like? They act lost. There's a reason people are ugly. There's a reason that people are on drugs. There's a reason that people are immoral. There's a reason that people do the things they do. They talk the way, you know, we talked to one man yesterday and he, you know, basically told us he was saved, knew the Lord. But then just in a moment of time, he took the name of Jesus, used it in a very vain manner, had no sense of understanding what he had done or thought about it. And what that tells me is that Jesus is a name to him. Jesus is just an expression to him. Has no reality in his life. When Jesus becomes real in you, you can't bear that. That bothers you. Well, those who are in the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh, but then notice the contrast here, verse 5 in the latter portion. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Those who are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. So somebody's going to say, well, okay, that's talking about people who are really spiritual, right? Christians who are super saints, like Shannon. Yeah, he's kind of blushed. No, he's not. He's waving and... Oh, man. Now, here's the reality. What the Bible says, and we read it a moment ago. Notice verse 9. He says, "You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." So here's the definition then of who is spiritual. Well, it's one who the Spirit indwells. Who does the Spirit indwell? Who has the Spirit living, taking residence and living within them? Well, it's those who are saved, those who are born again, those who are saved into the family of God. And so now the Holy Spirit has come to take up residence in your life. And I'll tell you what, for a Christian, that's a wonderful truth. That's a precious truth. Why? Because I can't do what God asked me to do on a daily basis. I can't love my wife like I should. I can't love my children like I should. I can't be the man I'm supposed to be on my own. It's not possible. And some of y'all are really good people, but you can't do it either. Amen. You can't do it on your own. So every one of us, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the engine that drives this thing. You know? It's sort of like the old guy who went bought himself one of these newfangled chainsaws. Took it back to the guy he bought it from. Said, man, this thing don't work. I can't get this thing to do anything. And so the dealer, he looked at it and said, well, let me just check it over here. He reached down and he grabbed that cord and he yanked it. It roared to life. The old guy jumped back and said, what's that? All right, it's a dumb story, okay? Say, who would do that? We do that. We're surprised and shocked when the Holy Spirit shows up. What's that? You mean there's something to this Christian thing? There's something more that God's able to do? Oh, listen. We need to understand. There is a power in the Christian life. But it's not us. It's the power of God in us. It's the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And what we see here is that He indwells every believer. Notice verse 9 again. At the end of the verse there it says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. He is not of His. So in other words, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. Now some folks will tell you, will teach that, well, first you receive Jesus, and then at some later point, you receive the Holy Spirit. And it's a second blessing. It's some greater thing that God does in your heart later on. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible just says, no, when you get saved, you get all of God that there is. All right? And there may be moments in your life later on when God gets more of you. But you've got all of Him that there is. He's there. Complete. It's not some kind of, you know, optional thing that only the super saints can afford to get decked out with. It comes factory standard from the factory of souls. Okay, and our Maker, He made us, He created us, and when He redeems us, He comes to fill this empty place in our heart, this empty longing for joy and peace and life in our heart. And He comes and He fills it with His Spirit. Well, so back to this contrast again here. Notice verse 6, he says, for to be carnally minded, that is to be in the flesh, to be carnally minded is death. Now, he didn't say to be carnally minded leads to death. He said to be carnally minded is death. And I think that's the thing that we as Christians need to understand. That if you allow your flesh to rear up, if you allow your flesh to control you, if you allow your flesh to run things in your life, what you're doing is you're inviting the discipline of God on your life. And God disciplines His own. God disciplines His children. And do not think, well, I'm saved, I'm okay, I can do what I want pretty much. I'll ask forgiveness later. No, that is not what the Word of God says. When God changes a man, it says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away, all things are become new. It doesn't mean you're perfect overnight, but it does mean you have a different set of desires. You've got a different place. You've got a different bent in life. You're no longer determined on pursuing the things of the flesh, all the junk of the world, the pleasures of the flesh. Now you're focused on pursuing the things of God, the things of Christ, the things of the Spirit. You're minding the things of the Spirit. Well, to be carnally minded, that word carnal, we have chili con carne, right? What? It just means chili with meat, flesh. Okay? Okay? So when we say carnal, it's just that word just means flesh. To be carnally minded is death. And it doesn't just mean here, this is not just talking about a Christian who has a carnal attitude. Although that's, it's possible and it happens. But this is a person whose heart and mind is given over to carnality. They're given over to the flesh. They're going to pursue the flesh no matter. And it says that's death. And it's just like Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 1. He said, "You who were dead in your trespasses and sins, you who were dead hath He quickened." He's made alive. And we were dead before Christ. We were dead and without life, but Jesus has brought life. And so now we're minding the things of the Spirit, not the things of flesh. So look at the contrast again. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, I'm amazed. I have a lot of Facebook friends, and I try to. I don't judge people, but I do see some things sometimes that I look at. I just wonder. Because the overwhelming bent of their life, the overwhelming thing that they are constantly professing and saying, and is full of self. It's full of what they want. It's full of them. Folks, when you begin to see drama just swirling around and in your life, and when that's just a constant, that's a warning. That's an indicator that your focus is on yourself. To some extent, at least, it's on yourself. Because here's what happens when you get your focus off of yourself. You begin to think about God. And suddenly you're not whining and griping and complaining and moaning and groaning and all this junk about what somebody said or what somebody did or what happened yesterday. You're focused on Christ. You're thinking about the things of God. Well, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And in my experience, a lot of folks on social media could use some of both. Because it's so easy to get on those places. Those of you who are on there, you understand. Others of you, it's just very easy to get on there and say things that you probably wouldn't come to my face and say, but you'll say it on there. And things can be very ugly. We live in a society today that is so fleshly oriented. It is uncivil. It's unsocial. And I think you have to question what's the purpose of social media if it's unsocial. But anyway, enough of that message. So here's what we see then. The carnal mind, minds the things of the flesh. To be carnally minded is death. But then notice verse 7. He says the carnal mind is... Whoa, wait a second. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Here's what he's saying. Is that lost person? Because most lost people, they're not going to say, "Well, I'm against God." I mean, some would. But most people are going to say, "Oh, I'm kind of in the middle. I'm just kind of waiting to see how it plays out." Or, "Well, I'm not against God. I'm not really for God. I'm just, But the Bible says if you're not in Christ, you are the enemy of God. And you're not subject to the law of God. And you cannot be. So notice the conclusion here. Verse 8. What's the conclusion of a life apart from Christ? So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't please God. You know, I've known some wonderful, sweet people that I considered good, moral people who didn't know Christ. But you know what? On their best day, they cannot please God. You know, if Billy Graham, on the best day of his life, he's a man that most of us would look up to, would admire, would say he's been a faithful servant of Christ, and he's you know, been an example to many millions of people and preached the gospel to millions of people. But on the best day of his life, he cannot please God on his own. And so what we're seeing here is that for lost people, what we're seeing is a disturbing trend here. We're seeing the fact that we're the enemies of God. We're seeing the fact that we cannot please God. So that's a dead end. And I've met a lot of people who say, well, you know, I'm a good person. I'm a good neighbor. I help folks and I do things for people. And that's true. But you know what? That in itself is not enough. Because, why? Because we've broken God's laws. Every single one of us. We've broken God's laws. We're guilty. But then notice verse 9. Paul's writing to us. He's writing to believers. He's writing to Christians. And so notice verse 9. He says, but ye are not. And you'll notice that ye in the King James, it's ye, Y-E, and that's the plural of you, okay? In the King James, that's how it's expressed, ye is ye. We lose that in the modern translations. It just says you for singular or plural. But here, that's plural. So it's like saying, but y'all, okay? All right? But y'all are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now that word if there is interesting. You could actually translate that word if as since. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. So, here's what we see then. A person who is saved has the Holy Spirit abiding within them, indwelling them. Okay? Coming into their life. Changing them. And it means that you have a new direction, a new bent in life. You're headed in a different place altogether than what you were before. And that's the picture of repentance. You know, repentance is you're walking and you're turned away from God and you're pursuing what you want and what you think and what you believe and what you desire in life. And when God's Spirit convicts your heart, you turn from all that stuff. You turn from your sin and you turn from even your goodness. And you turn from everything and you turn to Christ. And now your direction is totally different. You're walking in a different direction. You're going to a different place. And so when the Spirit of God comes in, He brings life and He brings peace. And without Him, well, you know, Paul kind of used this for us. He said, you know, without love, you're what? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to wake you. We're a tinkling brass, sounding cymbal, without love, but without Christ, really. We are. And I'm glad you were awake, brother. I wouldn't have wanted to do that to you if you gone off there. All right, so to be in Christ, man, is to have a change. And yet it's not us. You know, I think that's the hard part of this, is that we got to grasp the fact that when Jesus comes in, we don't begin to change ourselves. He begins to change us. Now, everything He calls us to do
Okay? He says, you need the Word of God. You need to get in the Bible. He calls us to that. He gives us that as an obligation. But every obligation He gives us, we have a responsibility to respond to Him. You know, God's not just going to save your soul and then just fill you up with all this good stuff. That, you know, everything you need so that you can just go through life and be the man He wants you to be, the woman. God saves you, but then He begins to work. He begins to work on you. How long has He been working on you, Brother Wayne?
68 years.
About 68 years. And He hadn't quit yet? Not yet. He's not through yet. Amen. Well, we're all alike in that. And so, but here's the good part. When the Spirit lives within you, He's the one who does that good work. And He calls you to pray. Well, He's going to empower you and enable you. He calls you to witness. Guess what? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses. Acts 1:8. Everything God calls us to do, ask us to do as Christians, now He's going to come and He's going to help us. He's going to give us strength. And our job is to say, yes, Lord. Our job is to surrender to Him. Our job is to submit to Him. And I'll be honest, there's a part of me that's very much a rebel. It wants to do my thing, my way. And when you push me, I'm like, you know. But, oh listen, when we surrender to Christ, man, it's the best thing that could ever happen. Because suddenly God begins to meet us where we are. And here's what we come down to in this. God created you. He made you. He made you with desires, with hungers, with things that you feel that you want. You want friendship and you want to be loved. God made you that way. God made you with physical desires. Some of you, your stomach is rumbling right now. Your stomach's telling you it's time to eat. Well, God gave you that desire. But guess what? God also created something to fulfill that desire, to take care of that. He created all kinds of good stuff. Cherry pie with vanilla ice cream. Roast beef fresh out of the oven with potatoes and carrots. And He created all these good things, but He made them so He could fill that desire that we have. God will never give you a desire that there is not a righteous fulfillment of that desire. Whether it is your physical appetite, your sexual desire, any desire God gives, there is a righteous fulfillment of it. But what you have to be careful of is that the enemy steps in. And we want to be loved on, or we want to be recognized, and the enemy steps in. And he begins to use that against us to make us feel like, oh, well, she don't like me. He's looking at me funny. Well, he didn't even shake my hand. He must not care for me too much. And before we know it, we're listening to the enemy of our souls. And the enemy's driving a wedge in there, making us feel like there's something wrong when in reality it's the devil's lies that are wrong. And it applies in every part of our life. How we need to be saved, first of all, but then to learn to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. That's our job, y'all. That's what we're here for. And I want to encourage you. Some of you have learn parts of that. Some of you scratch the surface. Some of you are, you know, and you're in there. But wherever you're at, I just believe God's got places that you haven't even experienced yet. There's things that He hadn't even shown you yet. But I want to encourage you to keep walking with Him and keep believing Him. Keep obeying. Keep surrendering. That other life, man, it's gone. It's got to be. It has got to be. It's filled with death. destruction, horrible, nasty, gross stuff. You've got to let it go. If you belong to Jesus, then follow Him. Or as Brother Ronnie told us, say, if you're going to be a Christian, be a good one. If you're going to be a Christian, be a good one. Well, let's bow our heads. We're just going to have a moment of prayer and invitation. And I want to encourage you to think about today your relationship with God, first of all. Are you saved? If you're not, you're in the flesh. You're minding the things of the flesh. You're focused on the flesh. But that whole life is death. There's no life there. I want to encourage you today. The Spirit of God has broken through your heart to show you this is what you need. You need Christ. You need salvation. You need to be saved. Then I want to invite you to answer that call and just humble yourself and receive Him. And you can pray a prayer right there in your pew, but I'm going to tell you, if it's not a faith that will get you up out of your pew to confess Him and to follow Him before others, it's not a faith that will get you into heaven. And I would encourage you, if you've never confessed Christ publicly, maybe you've been saved before, but you've never openly shared that with others, I want to invite you today to do it. If you need to be saved, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be saved. You can pray right there, right now. You can come and I'll pray with you. I would love to, in fact. You can catch me after the service and we'll pray then. We'll talk then. Whatever God lays on your heart, you do it. Answer His call. And Christian, if you're here today, you know if your life matches up with what the Bible describes. Is your life filled with life and peace, with the joy of the Spirit, with the peaceness, the calm, just every part of just being His? I want to encourage you today, if there's areas of your life that you haven't surrendered to Him, you haven't trusted Him for, just turn to Him this morning. Father, I'm thankful for your gospel. I'm thankful for your Holy Spirit who comes to live in us, Lord. I pray for my dear friends here today, if there's even one who doesn't know you, Father, would you speak to them and draw them and help them to turn their life over to you? And Father, if there are those who have allowed sin to capture their heart, their attention, their time, Lord, I pray you would bring us back to the altar, back to the place where we've been forgiven before. God, would you work in us now again? Father, help us, we pray in this moment, to be bold for you.